You're listening to Packers Talk Network. Packers Talk.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
Therapy. It's Chris and Dave. Chris in the heart of Wisconsin. If you do a cross here, you know, all the way from Hurley to Beloit and all the way over from Green Bay, all the way straight across the state through Eau Claire, we're right in the crosshairs. Dave is in a Timberline tent under the stainless steel arch in St. Louis.
That's
so
right.
How are things by the river today, Dave?
I think things are pretty good. It's still pretty hot, pretty humid. We had some rain, and it became like a greenhouse outside yesterday. But I do have to shout out when we talk about how things are. I got to shout out to my son, Ben,
okay,
who is living in Redding, California.
Oh, yeah.
Which is literally on fire right now.
It's so hot. I'm literally.
It's hot, and there are fires. And I think he told me that there is the second largest forest fire in California's history. A few days ago, and then he called and said, "Oh, there's another one.
Yeah. So
it can't be just one or a few." And it's like it's 100 degrees constantly in the valley up there. You think Northern California is Napa Valley, and I think of like cooler temperatures. But so when I talk about being hot in St. Louis, I will no longer complain compared to what he's going through out in California.
Well, it's for your son. It's a dry heat.
Yes.
I shouldn't laugh. That's it. No. This is a bad thing, and you know, on global warming therapy, we probably could touch on this more, but it's not a good thing to have all these fires. Let's just leave it at that.
Speaking of on fire, how about Bankert yesterday?
Man, I tell ya. I don't know about you, Dave, but when I was in high school, I used to go, you know, to the football games and the basketball games. I never watched the JV games except for the ones that I was playing in. Well, actually the ones I was standing on the sidelines and watching. So this was a JV game yesterday.
Yeah.
And their 13 quarterback, you know, did well. Seems like a nice young man. Got a couple of skills. But really, what did we learn from this? Packers had 32 guys that didn't dress for the game. They were wearing sweats. They weren't on Otterall on the sidelines, but they did not play in this game.
Right.
And there was a couple of starters for the Jets, but what did we really learn here?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Could you be a little bit less ambiguous about it?
Yeah, right. Well, I told you I wanted our last podcast to be titled Ecclesiastes 1:1, which
yeah,
I think
right.
says meaningless, meaningless,
that's
everything
right.
is meaningless.
That's right.
I think, though, Kurt Benkert's performance, if that was Jordan Love playing, would you have thought it was more interesting yesterday? Because, you know, there were some throws he made I thought were very sharp, and mm-hmm. and he threw, you know, he hit guy right between the numbers when he turned around right at the first down marker a couple times. He, like, floated one to a tight end Sternberger in the corner.
Yes,
yep. And I thought, well, that was a very nice play. But I'm not excited about it because it's not Jordan Love. I'm confused by it because now are all these follow-up questions are, well, do you keep three quarterbacks or
yeah.
you certainly can't not keep Love? Like, would you trade one of them before the season starts? Like, what does this mean to have Benkert look like a decent quarterback? I mean, he certainly looks better than Brett Hundley.
oh,
right?
Boy.
Is that fair to say?
I think that's
is that
very
low
fair.
Praise or is that
I think
am
that's,
I just not remembering
I think that's
right?
very, very low praise. But again, without evaluating the competition,
yeah,
you know, that each quarterback's playing against, it's really hard to know. For me, I think maybe they found their backup for next season after, you know, Rodgers gets his way and Jordan Love's going to play. They're going to need a backup quarterback. And this is a guy, you know, Benkert has been in the league a couple of years and practice squad. And, you know, he looked like a guy
who could play, who could, you know, reasonably allow you to stay in a game, maybe win a game or two if your starter is down. And I think he helped himself that way. But until you're facing, you know, number ones and you're playing with the ones and you're playing against the ones and there's, you know, game planning and scheming and all, you really don't know what you're looking at out there. But I will say this, when he rolled to his right and was able to throw on the run and he was able to hit Malik Taylor on the sidelines, I thought, now that looked like an NFL play. I don't care what right. the competition is. He was able to show his ability to move out of the pocket and throw on the run, and that means something. Right. It would mean a lot more if it was like, you know, the sixth game of the season and they were, you know, playing against the Vikings. You know, that would mean a lot more. But as it was, you know, you could say this guy is a credible player.
Right. So can they save him, you know, on the practice squad? Or do you need to reserve a spot for him? Or is it he's a dime a dozen? I mean, what do you do with Kurt Benkert?
How do you solve a problem like Kurt Benkert? Yeah.
That's right.
You know, I was thinking about this because somebody else mentioned it online, and I don't know, I've been looking at a lot of different stuff, and it is the question, do you keep three quarterbacks? Ooh, but then you're you have a roster spot where you could, you know, have a, you know, a sixth linebacker. I think you save them because of your circumstances. If we knew that Aaron Rodgers was going to be the quarterback this year, next year, and the year after, yeah, well, then you probably try to sneak him through a banker through to the practice squad. That's not going to be the case. I think it's, I don't know what your estimation is, Dave, but a 90% chance that Rodgers is not going to be their quarterback in 2022. And if that's accurate, then I think you do have to have somebody that's a credible backup to Love. I mean, Love, you know, in his first stint playing got hurt. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Right.
So, you know, you're going to have somebody that's credible that can play, and you don't know what's going to be available next year. I would try to keep this guy and roll with three quarterbacks.
Cause you know, there's probably another spot for maybe an extra wide receiver. They've got a bunch of tight ends. I think the running backs are probably pretty well shaping up with the three that they've been working with. I don't know if you keep, you know, what position do you lose out? Do you have one less corner, offensive lineman? You know, who would you do that? Because he should be someone who literally does nothing for you other than something for next year. And maybe there's going to be 10 Kurt Benkerts next year. So do you need to keep the guy? That's one thing I learned is I thought, you know, he has an arm and looks like he could be an NFL quarterback in a pinch. I don't think he's your starter. Or you don't want that to be the case, but I don't know, you know, if he had in the sixth game of a season when you've had five beforehand and you've had all the week preparations and, you know, you learn from your mistakes, could he have some more upside? I don't know. And certainly you would hope that Love would have more. He's the guy that you picked. And, you know, if you could have gotten Benkert for all the nonsense and mess you made by getting Love, you'd hope that Love is better. But one thing I did learn too, is how much different it is when Aaron Rodgers plays quarterback, right? I mean, it just, and it's not just the throws, and it's just the command of the game, and just in the huddle, come up to the line of scrimmage, looking at the defense, not falling down twice.
Exactly, it's just the same thing I was thinking. You know, it happens once, it's bad, but on consecutive plays, not great.
Well, then I thought, why doesn't it happen all the time? So now I'm having anxiety attack, thinking like every time he steps back, he's going to get stepped on. Like, I haven't heard whose fault that was. Was the center getting pushed back too much? Like, and I thought they replaced the center then right after that. So that made me think the center's fault.
Yeah, they did replace their draft choice, Myers, and they brought in Lucas Patrick. The way it sort of read in the post-game comments by the very handsome Matt LaFleur, but he looks spectacular, by the way. Anyway, he seemed to mention that the quarterback wasn't pulling out fast enough. and we know that's true because we've seen a picture of his family. So anyway, yeah. I guess it was his fault, according to the head coach. But the head coach, you know, is a quarterback guy, and he's quarterback centered. And if something goes wrong, it's probably on the quarterback. But yet they replaced the center, and that seemed to make things better. You know, I think Myers is a good player, But the more I read about him, you know, he's got some flaws in his game, and being a week one starter, I think that was assumed. I'm not sure that's 100% certain now.
Yeah, I wonder if that's true, or if you give him some time. I mean, there's going to be injuries, and I mean, do you have to rush him? Although Rodgers seems to like him, he complimented him pretty early on in the preseason here. So I thought he was another Corey Linsley. He's from Ohio State. Mm-hmm. You don't really see what they look like anyway, so it's fine. You know, he's going to play just as good as Corey Linsley. Maybe that's not the case, and I didn't go back and look at the replays to see if I could figure out, because one, the preseason game, which was shown here in St. Louis again, I've got it's crazy. They keep showing the preseason games here. But the coverage from Kevin Harlan and James Lofton, I guess if you're watching it live, that's probably who you got. I mean, who knows what they're talking about? There was, I thought I saw at one point J.K. Scott kicked a really poor punt.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, that looked bad. Was that true? And no. They're talking about, who knows, some brewery in the middle of wherever. I don't know. And then I read in the paper later, like J.K. Scott had like a 21-yard punt. Like, that's an issue. That's another thing I learned, is that J.K. Scott isn't getting any older and might not be getting any better. So. Well,
you know, he also had a 49 and a 51. You know, I mean, you're looking for consistency there. I
missed that then. Is that true?
He had a 49 and a 51, but the 21 was not just ugly. It was butt ugly. I mean, it was horrible. And the thing is, they already cut the other punter.
Right.
So unless they think that they can just find somebody off the street the week before the season. But they invested a draft choice in this guy. And I think that's probably why they're sticking with him. And when he's good, he's really good. But when he's bad, I mean, it's 21 yards and in the first row of the grandstand.
I can't think of a player. Well, I'm sure I probably could if I thought for a minute. A player that we've turned on so quickly. Remember how we used to just go on and on about how great this guy was?
He was a weapon. He was a weapon. Yeah. But now he's a weapon, except when he's not.
How fickle we are.
I know.
No allegiance to the punters. It's always, what have you done for me lately? So I think I learned. So here's a couple things. So I learned, I have some concern about J.K. Scott and the special teams. We should probably talk about too. It's the second game.
Oh, man.
Where the special teams don't look that good.
Very special. But
not special. But these were like backup of backups, so I have no idea what to make of this, but it's why can't they get this straight?
Well, you see, but that's my problem too. I was appalled at the 73-yard kick return. And it wasn't that it happened in isolation. It happens repeatedly. Mm-hmm. And then it was brought to my attention that, hey, you're playing with not backups. You're playing with the backups to the backups. And can you really expect, much more than this from them? And of course, they're also probably playing against, third teamers as well. But these guys, a lot of them aren't going to make the team anyway. So do you really get concerned? Certainly, do you get bent out of shape? I don't think so, because we don't really know what we're seeing. And I don't think any of us, unless your name is Chad Reuter, you're really in a position to evaluate the talent that you're seeing. Forget about the team play, the individual talent. I mean, Chad could break this down and tell us what we're looking at, but he'd have to watch it, back and forth again and again. And in real time, very tough to evaluate, say, the play, of the offensive line, or even the defensive line, where there's so much chaos going on, unless you're stopping it and breaking it down. Other than splash plays, you really don't know what you're looking at.
Right. I don't know if anyone has ever looked at that. You can make some conclusions of this, is that the Packers are kind of an offensive minded team. They keep more wide receivers than linebackers. And so when you're getting into your special teams, you have one more less defensive minded player than maybe the Bears, who are like more defensive minded. They might keep, an extra linebacker. So is there anything to that you have one person that's sort of a mismatch? Because, maybe every team does, but you'll have the equanimous St. Browns that are playing special teams. And, he's didn't grow up or spend college ripping people apart, on kick returns. And so, but he's playing for the Packers.
It's not even a Saint, Dave.
No, that's, well, certainly not on special teams. Maybe that's what Stain stands for. That's
special teams Brown.
Special teams Brown.
That's what that means. We finally cracked the code.
Yeah.
Well played, sir.
But, you know, is it that it doesn't, it's indicative because the way the Packers look for players and build teams, they're looking for skilled players, not your tough guys, you know, and so that's why your special teams are historically bad. But that means you have a pretty good offense all the time. So, I don't know if there's anything there, but
no, I think it's a good point. It's philosophically how you're building your team. I mean, what's your overall umbrella slant? And I know we probably do this too much, but, you know, in the place where you work, the place where I work, you know, there are the micro things and then there's the macro things. And generally you have a philosophy as a leader that, you know, we want this kind of team. And it depends on the industry you're in. If you're in football, you know, we're going to be a big, tough, you know, team that is geared to, you know, win in December and January. Cause you know, that's who we are. That's where we play. That's our character. I don't think this particular generation of the Packers, and maybe going back for the past 15 years, has been that tough guy, you know, kind of team. I think they have a few of those guys from time to time, but generally speaking, they're looking for athletes and more finesse players and skill players. And that's
smart.
Why they're going to,
smart. Players, yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because they're precision, you know.
Yeah. And that's the way they've kind of built this team. And that's why I think Malik Taylor is probably going to make the roster, you know, because he is that kind of high upside finesse player that they seem to like philosophically. Other teams, you know, don't gamble on that sort of thing. They want somebody in their sixth wide receiver who's going to be a killer on special teams, you know, and they value that over, you know, what's this guy going to do when he's got to play in a five receiver set, you know, and that's what the Packers think about, for better or worse. I mean, it's worked out pretty well for them. You know, I mean, haven't won any Super Bowls in the last decade, but, you know, they've been on the cusp number of times. So, you know, I mean, a lot of it then comes down to luck then too, right? On who's available in that week that you need them, you know? So
Right.
I'm not saying it's a bad approach, but it's their approach. And that's why I think they're always going to bias, as long as they have this coach, they're always going to bias finesse, precision, intelligence, and upside.
So I'm just going to go down my list here of things I learned. I wasn't planning on doing this. Do you mind if I keep going?
Well, I could cut off your microphone, which, by the way, sounds spectacular.
I should apologize. I have a cordless mic that I've been using for all my Zoom calls and all the work I've been doing for the last 18 months. And even then, every once in a while, someone will say, your mic's not working great, but it's a brand new one. I bought it and it should work. It really frustrates me, but I've gone to an old school.
Wait a second, dude. You have just betrayed the general manager's problem. It's a sunk cost. I'm going to use this player, this microphone, because I invested good money in it. And damn it, if he shanks the ball out of bounds 21 yards, if it breaks up, I don't care. I put money into this thing, damn it.
Here's the difference, though, is I went with it the first week. The second week, I flipped out for the old reliable. So I did make a change.
So you cut this guy from your roster.
I gave him a week. That's a huge difference. I know when to make the change. Ted Thompson would be like, this mic will work eventually.
All right.
I got to stop bringing Ted Thompson. Poor man.
He's no longer alive, you know. I just want to point that out. The poor man has gone to his reward, okay?
I can't let it go.
I can't quit you, man. Okay.
I'm going to go down my list. So I want to mention Jake. They say it's Dolagala.
You're asking me. I don't know.
Okay. So here's Jake Dolagala. He gets this big chance. He's in the game. What does he do? He's not going to throw a dump off pass. He's not going to hand it off.
He's got to go for it, baby.
He's throwing a bomb.
He's got to go for it.
He is.
Hey, but you know what, though? It makes a lot of sense. He has very limited film that he's going to put out there. And if that's completed, you know, I mean, the guy maybe gets a chance with somebody else.
I would have loved it if the play call was, you know, run right and he gets in the
That's
huddle.
True.
You go fly down the left sideline.
Screw that, baby. We're going for it.
I'm going to cut tomorrow anyway. So he was 0-for-1 with the interception, but I got to give him all the credit in the world for giving it a shot. So I like my, I might get my Dolagala jersey.
that would be sweet.
And be the only one. I might do it. I might do it.
That would be great.
So then, and then now the another thing I learned, I'll go to the Russian game, is I'm very excited for A.J. Dillon this year. How do you feel about him?
Well, I mean, the man has enormous thighs. But I'm excited not just because he's a hoss of a man and tough to bring down. You know, he's a little bit of a threat in the passing game. The guy can catch the ball. And I think that was kind of the missing piece. You know, can this guy be effective? Now, we won't really know, you know, until it matters. I don't think he's going to be Jamal Williams in the passing game, but I think he's going to be good enough to give him that threat, and he can be then a three down sort of back. And I was pleased with that. And he does run hard, and he's going to give him a lot of that stuff. And they've also got a good guy behind him. Gill looks like he can like he can play, and he kind of reminds me a little bit of 33. You know, he's kind of got that Aaron Jones thing about him. So I think they're pretty well set at running back.
Well, and I thought Patrick Taylor looked fine. Now, did he fumble?
He fumbled. He looked fine until he didn't.
I did think, you know, between I thought Kylan Hill, I read about him all the time. Everyone's very excited about this guy. He can catch out of the backfield, and yeah, he looks the part. And then Patrick Taylor came in against B and C players, but he
against UPS drivers essentially is what he was up against. Surprised they all were wearing brown shorts, you know.
But he looked good too. until he fumbled. So
And
with Dexter Williams, you know, I guess he played had a good game last week. I didn't.
Yeah.
It sounds he's like Kylan Hill is going to be the guy.
Odd man out is and I want to like Dexter Williams, but he just doesn't fit. He had his chance. The window opened and closed, and Hill is going to be the guy there. I think what I like best about Hill. Did you see his tweet?
No.
All it said was 256, and I thought that was great. That was his draft position, and he's still pissed about that. He thought he should have gone higher. And at first I saw 256. And then, that was where he was picked in the seventh round. Okay, got it.
Very nice. No, I do. Yeah, I want a guy with a chip on his shoulder.
Exactly.
But I think A.J. Dillon, he's the only starter that, you know, anywhere in sight. Yeah. I guess Amari Rodgers could end up not starting, but he might get significant playing time at some point.
Exactly.
But yeah. I think A.J. Dillon gives a angle to this offense where if you're worried about the passing game, we've got all kinds of weapons all the way around. Aaron Jones is certainly his own weapon in its own right in a running game. And then you got A.J. Dillon coming in as a battering ram. I think, the Packers have been good in the past with Favre too, and the running game was great and you had to pay attention to it, then the passing game was so open, there's no way you could stop it. And if A.J. Dillon can stay healthy, I'm just very excited for him. If Jones and Dillon, it would be a great 1-2 punch for the running game.
Yeah, you know, I feel good about the running game. They've also got guys that can block in the running game, which, you know, is critical. And I think Royce Newman appears to be one of those guys, besides having a fabulous name. You know, he was out there clearing the way at guard. So I think they have a lot of depth on the line, and that's just going to help that running game, you know, be a nice complement once again to the passing game. I have a lot of good feelings about what they'll be able to do on offense this season.
Yeah. Well, let's finish this up with the receivers. Malik Taylor had a nice game, made that nice catch along the sidelines. Rodgers caught everything that was basically thrown to him, you know, for the most part. Amari Rodgers, to me, though, when they drafted him, it was like, this is our new Randall Cobb.
Yep.
And now we got Randall Cobbs. So we have two Randall Cobbs. But when I look at Amari Rodgers, he looks more like James Jones to me. Like the size of him and everything.
He's sick. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess he'll play the slot, and I don't think Jones did that. But when I sort of see the way they sort of walk and look and everything, it's not Randall Cobb. He's not a small, shifty guy. He doesn't seem. He looks more kind of bigger. James Jones was more the guy I was thinking of. I don't know if that makes a difference or not, but
well, let's see if he's wearing a hoodie when the weather gets cold.
Yeah, that would seal the deal. But I don't think, you know, Funchess didn't play. Is it going to be?
He was hurt. Yeah.
Malik Taylor or Funchess or Begelton or St. Brown, you know, who are they going to do? I guess they're all fighting for maybe one spot here. I didn't really learn anything other. Malik Taylor looks like, was it a complete flop? And you know, if they choose him, I wouldn't say, are they crazy? But in my mind, if you had came down to what you know right now, and you had to pick between Taylor and say Funchess, let's go with those two. Would you lean one way or the other?
Yeah, I mean, we had an extended conversation about the unfortunate choice of words that Funchess had. Mm-hmm. But I think on the field, the guy's experienced. He showed that he can, you know, still play and still catch. I believe he hurt a hamstring, unfortunately. But, you know, a veteran presence, a big target. I mean, I would tend to go with that rather than, you know, with a Malik Taylor who looks, you know, good against the third team guys. That would be my preference. But, you know, they have other guys who are interesting, too, that I'm not sure, you know, like this Juwan Winfrey guy. He played a little bit last year. Seen.
Right.
And he's been hurt, got good size, young guy. I find him really interesting, too, but maybe because he's been hurt, you know, maybe he's going to slip to the practice squad. I'm not exactly sure, but I like Taylor. I just something about having the veteran around that I think would be, if you're really going for it this season, and you kind of have to, you probably want to keep the veteran around. But it would be hard to let go of Malik Taylor or Winfrey in light of the fact that these guys got a lot of upside and they're both really young. You know, they have a future. They probably have a higher ceiling. But I think at this point, given the fact that this is really the last year of the Rodgers era, the Aaron Rodgers era, first year of the Amari Rodgers era, I think you probably go with the veteran.
I do too. I think that's, if you're going to choose between, you know, all else equal, say they are, you know, upside, downside, you know, that's all for the future. What do you have right now? I would go with whoever is got more experience because as we saw in the NFC Championship, you know, St. Brown drops a 2-point conversion and, you know, and you say, well, he's a young guy. And you know what? It's not time for that anymore. So I guess I would go with the guy. Funchess seemed very hungry. Now him being hurt is not a great, I mean, we want the person to be able to line up on Sunday. So that's a consideration too.
Well, you know, I guess if this was 3 years ago and, you know, Rodgers was 3 years younger and his horizon was not infinite, but a lot longer than it is, I probably would go with a younger player then. But this feels to me like it's an all-in kind of season. And so I think you probably make all-in decisions this year that you might not have made three seasons ago.
Yeah. And then on defense, I really only two things stood out to me. Is Eric Stokes had a breakup of a pass that I thought looked very impressive and, you know, very high hopes for him. Mm. You know, I don't know if he's going to start or not, but he's going to get on the field quite a bit. And it looks like he's getting good praise and had a good breakup. And I was excited about that.
I was too. But, you know, I think he's a work in progress. I have a bias against, you know, track guys. You know, he's a definite speed guy. He, you know, would probably help him in the 100-meter dash. But I don't know if he's a football player. What gave me more confidence than even the breakup that he had was the fact that, you know, he's going over after practice and talking to 17 and he's talking to 12 and he's saying, yeah, test me, you know, make me better. You know, I know what you're doing and I want you to do that. So the fact that he's got kind of that thing, you know, he wants to be challenged. He wants to be better. That gives me more confidence in the guy that he's going to be good because he really wants to, you know, and that's an intangible. I don't know how you can measure his speed, which is crazy, you know, when he's running on the track, but it's hard to measure the guy's intangibles. And he seems to have that. And that gives me as much confidence as the breakup that he had.
Yeah. I think that's all good. And you're right. Cause the compliments you receive, I guess you could hear nothing. You wouldn't hear them saying like, he's the worst. But you might hear them say nothing, and I feel like they're giving him good praise, and hearing that is very good. And then the other draft pick, TJ Slayton.
Yes.
Another guy you keep reading about, people are excited about, and got to see him make some plays yesterday. Got a sack. And
exactly. Yep.
Think if you have a guy that's pretty effective next to Kenny Clark, that could help the run defense quite a bit.
I thought so too. And he, again, we don't know what we're looking at with, as far as I know, that they had a couple of guys they pulled out of the stands were, you know, playing center and guard, you know, for the Jets. But, you know, he was able to get in the backfield. He was able to make a sack. That is a really nice additional thing to have from a guy who's big, 330 pounds, and you think, oh, he's a run stuffer, and that's kind of who he is and what he does. But maybe he's more than that. So I like what I saw. I mentioned last week, because he wears 93 and he's a bigger man, I thought, hey, Gilbert Brown's out there, you know? So I kind of liken that idea too. I heard a guy on the post game show call up and say, oh, they need a Ngamogun Sue. That's what they're missing in the middle. And Gary Ellerson said, well, you know, they kind of got that guy with TJ Slayton. And, you know, he's maybe Sue without the felonies involved, you know. So I kind of like what I saw this guy. But what's he going to look like in, you know, week three when he's playing against real players? It's so hard to know. But last week and this week, both, you notice the guy making plays, and that means something.
Right. Right. So I think that wraps up anything that I've learned about this team so far in this preseason game or anything other. I did like the interviews. Did you watch the interviews?
No, I did not. I always find those. You're talking about the in-game interviews.
Yeah, right.
I usually record the game and zip through that. I find them pretty vacuous, and it's like they got talking points from their agent, you know, and it doesn't do much for me.
Well, these were a little bit better. So they had Jair Alexander, and I see him as a confident young man. And his interview, he came across that way, and they came out and said, do you feel, what is a shutdown corner? And do you think you're a shutdown corner? Which is a dumb question. And
if you were a tree, what tree would you be?
Yeah. All right. But his answers, I thought, reflected a very confident guy and a guy at the top of his game. And I liked his interview. Devontae Adams was interviewed, and MVS photobombed the whole thing behind. It was
okay.
Hilarious.
That's cool. Okay.
Yeah, that was really funny. And then they had Aaron Rodgers they interviewed. And wouldn't you know, the first question they said, so you were really upset this summer, but now you seem bad, you know, you seem a lot better. What changed? Like, really? You're going to ask that question?
Well, good for you, man. Yeah, that's a hell of a question.
It is. Like, what the heck happened? You just go into detail just between the two of us and the rest of – no one watches preseason. Give us the real story here, Aaron. I thought that was really funny that he would come out and ask such a major question that he was never going to answer. And I think even Rogers sort of chuckled at it, but I thought those had some entertainment value to it too. Definitely go back and see the Devontae Adams one.
Well, I think I'm going to have to maybe change my preseason viewing habits, because I always tend to record the game to get rid of the commercials, of course.
Yeah.
And you know, that kind of empty stuff. And also to, let's face it, you know, the last 5 minutes of the fourth quarter of the season game, you know, that's when you put it on fast forward, just to make sure there's not, like, I don't know, an assassin that's taking out players from the top of the stadium, you know. But other than that, I just, you know, I'm not really dialed into that part of it. But, you know, maybe it's worthwhile. I confess that maybe I missed something here.
Okay, you can go back. I would just say Devontae Adams. I did have the unfortunate situation. I also was on delay so I could fast forward commercials. There are 6 minutes left in the third quarter, and I saw a popped up on my phone. It said Jets beat Packers 23-14. And I look, and the score right now with 6 minutes left in the third quarter is 23-14. Nothing is going to happen for another quarter and a half. So then I started to fast forward to the snap, try to get the let's burn this clock out situation here. So
I want to give advice not just to you, but it's also to me and everyone listening to this podcast. After next week's game, disable the notifications on your phone, because I don't know how many times I've been caught that way, that I forgot to disable ESPN or one of the other, you know, and I'm recording the game because I'm doing something else, and I get, you know, notification like, you know, Aaron Rodgers carted off the field, you know, yeah. Something like, you know, I don't like ever get that notification, but when I do get it, it's like, oh God, this is going to be terrible, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're a person that time shifts, be sure to disable those. In fact, go to your phone right now and disable them, because, you know, you'll do yourself a lot of favors down the road when you're not kicking yourself.
Yeah, I have most of them off. The Athletic got me. Somehow I must have updated my Athletic subscription, which we are joining together through the Packers Therapy fan base, who donation.
Generosity of givers have allowed us to subscribe to the Athletic, so thank you.
Yeah. I do have one last thing maybe before the break that is related to the preseason game. I chatted this over to you. I don't know if you saw it, but yesterday the Ravens won their 19th yes. straight preseason game
yep.
with the victory over the Panthers.
Panthers.
Which matches the Packers for the all-time record. The Ravens have matched the 1959 to 1962 Packers for the NFL record of the most consecutive preseason wins. So that's another record that may fall here next week. I don't know. How you feel about that? How you feel about losing that record?
Yeah, it's
a, we still
it's
a call great, ourselves Title Town after that.
It is a great tragedy, but you know, in those days, I guess you're not old enough to remember, and I didn't really start paying attention to this stuff until the late '60s. But they played 6 preseason games in those days, and as I was watching the game, it's funny, you know, you should mention this, because I was watching the game yesterday with a lot of guys that, you know, I've read about, you know, just briefly in the media. It used to be that your starters played these games.
Right.
And, you know, they were there. So it's now again, they played fewer games. They, in those days, they played, you know, I think it changed from 12 to 14 about that era in the early 60s. So, you know, it was still the same number of games. They played a lot more practice games than they played, you know, now. And the regular season was a lot shorter. But still, these guys were out there, you know, doing 2-a-days during the week, and they would play most of the game in these 6 preseason games to work everything out. And it was just a different era. So Lombardi, you know, wanted to win the preseason games because you develop a culture of winning. And now that doesn't mean anything. You know, teams, I guess the Ravens are the exception, but teams don't really care about winning in the preseason. They care about talent evaluation. And that was not how Vince Lombardi rolled. That was just not it.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess I didn't do the math here, but yeah, 59 to 62, that's only 4 years. I'm sorry, 3 years. And 19 straight victories, just over a 3. Yeah. So there was quite a few preseason games during that time.
Yeah. And that was their thing. You know, he wanted to win those games because that's what we do. If we're going to play a game, we're going to win it. Damn it. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I thought that's my preseason update. We know nothing about the team really any more than we did. We started other Rodgers is back. No one was hurt of significance yesterday. I don't know if the Jets can stay the same as they played some of their starters, but they got a yep. few injuries. But here we go to our last preseason game. I guess you talk about the way Lombardi handled it, even just, you know, Holmgren or Sherman, like, the starters used to play. Favre and Rodgers would play in these preseason games. I don't know. This is the first year I can remember where just about every starter isn't playing.
It used to be Rodgers would not play, right, and everyone else would. But now it's gone where they're, you know, you're pretty much talking second and third teamers are starting.
Everyone. I mean, and the Jets aren't doing this, but they're in a very different place. But, you know, MVS is at a place where he no longer needs to practice. You know, I see Chris Barnes out there. He is a starter. I guess he would be another one that is out there. But it really is. It's becoming more and more meaningless as we go. But I can't stop watching. I can't, you know, one, we do the podcast, and two, it's, I'm so hungry for the Packer games at this point of the season that I'll take anything.
Well, before we go to break, I have a question for you. If we weren't doing this podcast, in other words, if we finally put a stake in the heart of this thing and America would rejoice, would you still watch preseason games if you weren't doing a podcast.
Absolutely. Yes. I think I've seen every preseason game through our 17 years of the podcast, probably 10 or 20 years before that. I have watched. There was a time where I used to enjoy the preseason games a lot because it would be a game that I didn't care about. And that was kind of nice to have that.
Yeah.
But now I'm finding they are really, really tough to watch. So I have in the past before podcasts, I probably would. It's something interesting would happen and a rookie does something that I'd be excited about. I'd still watch. I think I know your answer.
Yeah, no, I would too because, yeah, but you know, I would watch it differently than I do now. I would want to, you know, see who some of these guys are because they're going to crop up and you do read the articles and it's nice to be able to see, oh, so that's the guy that they're talking about in practice, right. You know, then right. You can actually, and you also just, what the hell is that guy's number? You know, just because it might be handy later on. But the preseason, even during the time that we've done this, it's been a long time now, 17 years. I've gone from, you know, thinking the preseason had some value and it mattered, to thinking it matters not at all. And I don't know if that's because of the podcast or just the natural evolution or how teams and coaches treat the preseason, but it's the Packers. I would probably still watch it and pay attention to it because of its implications for the season. But it has the luster of it's gone, especially when I heard, and this was a few years ago now, where you know teams are intentionally, you know, not playing guys because they don't want there to be any film on them so they can sneak them through to the practice squad. And that seems like once the practice squad came around and teams began to understand how other teams were using it to, you know, take their players, even to the point where other teams, there are guys in other organizations who read the local press from the other teams around the league to see what the writers are saying about this guy and that guy and what they're doing in practice, things that they might not, you know, notice from game tape because the guys aren't playing. So it's become a whole increasingly paranoid league. And because of that, I'm not sure that we can really trust what we're seeing on a weekly basis, but they are wearing green and gold. They do have the G on the side of the helmet. And because I cheer for laundry, you know, I would probably be watching the preseason, albeit differently than I used to, certainly than differently I used to when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It really is. It's, if it was a, any other of my teams, the Brewers, the Bucks, if it was their backup player, like the Bucks have, I think they have the summer league going on right now. Right. And some of those players are players that actually play once in a while, but there's certainly guys on the bench and that team's not that big. I was flipping through YouTube TV and saw, oh, the Bucks are playing the Bulls or something when they're summer league. No, thank you.
Yeah, that's, exactly.
You know, I was all in for the Bucks in their championship run, but yeah, not as enough to watch the summer league but Packers preseason. Yep. Sign me up.
You know, what a lot of our listeners are all into is giving us money. And I think that's one of the more noble pursuits that a human being can do. You can give blood, you can volunteer to local food pantry, or you can give Chris and Dave money, you know, via PayPal. You go to PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, and you plug in an amount of money and saying, you know, I'm concerned that when the Atlantic subscription, or the Atlantic, well, when that comes up too, but when the Athletic subscription comes up, Chris and Dave won't have any money to pay for that. So I'm going to chip off a couple of my hard-earned dollars to make sure that those fellas can continue to be interrupted by notifications from The Athletic. That's what community is really all about in 2021. So you can also go to Patreon. I understand that's a service where you can give podcasters and creators money. I don't know how it works, but I understand it's out there, and we will take money from that source as well. But if you see it in your heart, your generosity, please go to PayPal, PackersTherapy@yahoo.com, and give Chris and Dave a couple of dollars.
Don't give us blood. Don't
no. Give us blood.
Yeah.
Although, if we're able to resell it, we will take that too. Yeah.
That's true.
So,
sounds like a lot of work.
you know, I didn't you gave the score. I guess I forgot to give the score. I usually do it this time. The Packers losing 23-14, as Dave mentioned, that was sealed with 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. So they're 0-2. Disaster certainly is around the corner for the Packers with an 0-2 record at the bottom of the National Football League early here in the summer of 2021. So we're going to come back. We've got a couple of emails that I want to get to. One from iChuck, another from my best man, literally my best man, Mike, now in suburban Crivets. And we'll get to some other stuff. All of that is ahead when Chris and Dave return on Packers Therapy. Back with more Packers Therapy, back with more Chris and Dave. Now that everyone's had a chance to, you know, stop their podcast and go to PayPal, we can resume with the second half of the second installment of Season 17, Packers Therapy. And I want to start with an email, a lengthy one that I'm not going to read in its entirety because we're already losing enough listeners being preseason as it is. But this is from the listener and friend formerly known as Big Snake Man. He's now Mike in suburban Crivets, Wisconsin. And he felt the need to write to us about things we mentioned last week regarding the Aaron Rodgers situation. And we talked about that at length last week. So this is what Mike had to say. He said, like yourself, I'm sympathetic to the idea of treating employees fairly, but I'm afraid I can't be as charitable toward Rodgers on that score as you and Dave seem to be. I have a hard time picturing Aaron Rodgers as Karl Marx. It also strikes me as disingenuous for Rodgers to complain about the culture when he was probably the one who most benefited from it when the Packers moved on from Favre. It's not only now, when it's staring him in the face, that it seems to have become an issue. And if Aaron's beef is with Goody for letting players go prematurely, why is it that all but one of the examples that Rodgers cites came before Goody's watch? He can hardly be held responsible for things that happened prior to his tenure. I would agree that the Packers have been a little cold in their treatment of some longtime vets, but that's the nature of the business. These guys should know what they're signing up for when they enter the NFL. And I'll tell you right now, Mike, I was going to give you, in fact, I probably will send you a clip from Airplane. They bought their tickets. They knew the risks. I say, let them crash.
I love that movie.
So yeah, it's I've seen that more than anything else. I've seen it with Mike probably at least four times. I mean, we love that film. Anyway, as to his comments, what do you think? It's he's kind of calling out Rodgers for being a bit, I think he said disingenuous. I would say duplicitous is probably another way to put that. What do you think in light of our comments last week and Mike's commentary?
Well, a couple things come to mind. One is I did kind of point, think about who those players were Ted Thompson's decisions versus Gutekunst. But I kind of see as Gutekunst as just being a direct descendant of Ted Thompson. So, you know, he's taking it out on Gutekunst, even though it's Thompson, because he's just going to kind of keep that philosophy going. So I feel like that's somewhat fair because, it, you know, if that's who you learn from and then you do your one or two, even though maybe you didn't do all 10 or how many ever, you feel like this is a philosophy that's going to continue and I'm going to step in here. I do think, though, you know, he might have been mad about Cobb and mad about Matthews, but when it comes to me, that's where it stops. And I certainly he's going to look out for himself more than as much as he's buddies with those people. Like, you know, when it comes to me, that's where I'm really going to be upset. But that's where he had control. Like he might have been upset, he might have complained, but he didn't have any control over that. He did sign the big contract, even knowing all that stuff would happen. So had happened. So I guess, you know, he's been a beneficiary of the Packers organization, certainly. But I think he saw what was coming. It was affecting him directly. I don't know. You know, I guess I just kind of stand by my thought is I don't like the way the Packers organization was kind of handling this. And I did think that it would make sense to listen to Rodgers, keep him sort of in the know a little bit, even if you have to maybe don't listen to everything he says. You give the appearance that he's in the know, so you sort of make him happy a little bit and doesn't create a problem. Like we said, we have to do that with your employees at some time. I'm sticking with what I have, but my bias has been over time that I felt that Thompson and the organization has made mistakes, that they've been too cautious. So I'm sort of biased to be critical of them. I've been critical of Rodgers too. I mean, these are two sides that I don't really like to pick one or the other, but I still kind of stand by the comments that I had made. I feel like what he did was fair. I'd like to see that Cobb is back. I don't really know what to make of, I guess now this Matthews tweet was more of a joke than anything. That's kind of an odd thing to joke about now. I thought it was because he was going to come back and retire as a Packer, but I guess it was really a joke about saying, you know, Matthews come back. I don't know. I still think if I had to choose sides, I think what Rodgers did, I stand behind it more. And I guess those are all my thoughts about it. What do you think?
Well, you know, in the context of, okay, let's be frank here. Okay, we see the world through our own personal lens, right? You know, I mean, everything, regardless if it's politics or religion or the Green Bay Packers, which are kind of the same as religion, I suppose, you know, you kind of view these things to where you are. And oh, by the way, happy birthday tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I just happened to recall that because I was going to mention, you know, my birthday is coming up too, as is Mike's. And, you know, I'm at a certain place in my life and in my career where, you know, I kind of get what Aaron is saying, because as you get older, you don't want to be kicked to the curb. You want to believe that the things that you've done and you've accomplished in a career are going to be respected. And so if that's what Aaron's saying, and again, I'm seeing it through my own lens, I get that. You know, you'd like to think that, you know, maybe you are different and maybe you are special because you haven't been doing this 5 years. You've been doing it 35 years and you've got a track record and you have, you know, some record of success. And so therefore things should be different for you. And I am not unsympathetic to that. If that's what Rodgers is saying, I'm not unsympathetic to it because I'm kind of living that out, you know, right now. So I am not completely on board with Rodgers, for the main reason is, and again, this is a personal thing, something about him just doesn't sit right with me.
That's right.
And I know we've talked about this repeatedly on the podcast. It's unfair because I don't know Aaron. He may be the nicest, sweetest guy ever. I don't know. But the vibe I get through the channels that are available to me, you know, I can't get with him on all of these things because I don't like him that much as a person. I love what he does on the field, but I don't get a lot of the warm fuzzies about the kind of guy he is. So that's why, while I'm sympathetic to his point, I can't totally get behind him because there's something about him that doesn't make me want to believe, trust, and support him as a person. So,
but yeah. Don't you feel the same way about Gutekunst and Murphy? And
well,
like they
yes.
seem sort of a legion of doom over there too. Like there's right. something about them I don't just really love. And I don't know, I love the organization and they've got these two very significant pieces of it that I don't care for. Like, right. why? How's that happening?
That's maybe the problem here, is that there's not a good guy, bad guy, white hat, black hat here. It's a bunch of guys wearing gray hats. And in fact, Mike goes on to say in his email, Murphy is a weird cat too, as evidenced by that bizarre press conference
right.
at the time of Goody's elevation. I sometimes think that Murphy spends too much time worrying about the Titletown district and not enough about the product on the field. And, you know, and that is true. I mean, both Murphy and Goody are not warm and fuzzy kind of guys, and they seem a little arrogant, and it's hard to get with that either. So it does, as a Packers fan, it's hard to choose a side here because there's elements of truth and reality in both sides of the equation. And that's why I can't get totally behind Aaron. And I can certainly understand where management's coming from, because especially in a business like the National Football League, you want to make decisive decisions. You better make them too soon than too late. And I think there's a lot of truth in that. And it's a cold business. You know, again, they bought their tickets. You know, they knew the risks. And that's kind of how the NFL works.
Yeah. Yeah, hey. I guess I'm not power to the worker kind of a person. I mean, I work in investments. I'm all about the capitalist system working. I mean, that's sort of my bias just generally, not to 100%, and being an investor and as a job, that sort of seeing the capital markets work itself out tends to lead me more to that rather than spread it around. I don't like get into politics as much, but it's not my motivation for being, you know, on Roger's side. I think it's, and I think one of the things he wanted to be heard. You know, I think he wanted to have some input, and I think he even said maybe this week, he didn't want them to listen to everything he said. He just wanted to be able to be heard because he probably was a very smart voice in the room. And I tend to agree with that as much as I don't really know if I'd like him as someone I'd want to go to dinner with again. I still think he is probably got a unique position. He's a really smart guy. I mean, he's hosted Jeopardy. You think Gutekunst is going to be considered for hosting Jeopardy? I mean, why not ask the guy what he thinks about the offense? And
as long as he answers in the form of a question, it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So I just think that, but I guess that was when I talked about turning a 180 after his press conference. It was, you know, how they treated the players and things like that. I think, and I don't know if I made this point last week is strong, but, you know, the getting rid of some of these players a year too soon than a year too late. I do think, and I think Rogers made this point, like Jordy Nelson went to the Raiders and clearly was on the decline, but he probably would have had a better year with Rogers and the Packers. So I don't know if you can just point to Jordy's season at the Raiders and say, see, it was a good decision. I mean, you have to then turn back and look and see, you know, we had MVS and he dropped the ball a bunch. And so it was kind of a lose-lose for everybody. And maybe MVS will turn into be a great player, but could MVS have sat some more plays and had Jordy in there? And could Jordy have helped us a little bit more and had a better season? And you would have been, a season too late with him. I think there are times where they probably could have kept some of these guys. And on the Packers, they would have been pretty impactful.
Well, the last thing Mike says is, I shuddered when I heard Dave suggest that members of the executive committee should shake up the operational structure. That sounds an awful lot to me like what happened in the 70s and early 80s. I don't think the Packers would be very well served by returning to that model.
No,
Dave, take.
Yeah, I'm not recommending that at all. I'm not saying the executive committee should get into the middle of player decisions or coaching decisions or things. I mean, what is the executive committee's job to do? It's to evaluate Murphy, I would think, and kind of big directional pictures that are going on with the Packers.
That's what it should be.
It should be, right? And, yeah, you know, should they be looking at what's going on? I mean, look, when I turn on ESPN and I see the Packers in the news quite often in a pretty ugly light, we should probably do something about that. And we keep losing the NFC Championship. You know, what's going on? What causes that? Are we too conservative? Like, those are big picture questions that I think that they could reasonably ask questions. Otherwise, don't have it. Look, if it's congratulations, you've got a good job in Wisconsin, and why don't you come to a free Packer games? Well, let's just call it the elite fan club for the Green Bay Packers rather than, you know, what it should be, which is, you know, you actually are supposed to do something here. You're supposed to, like, if Murphy is too concerned about Titletown, that's the group that says, hey, Mark, why don't you turn your head toward the team a little bit more? And why don't you take these coaching classes so you learn how to, like, work with your general manager, your players, and make this thing work together a little bit more. Those are the things I want to see happen. I'm just afraid, and I don't know, maybe the executive committee actually is pretty active and is doing that work. I'm just afraid that when you're on that committee, you're so happy to be on it. It's the greatest thing to tell your friends and neighbors that you don't do anything to screw that up and don't push back at all. That's my point. But do I want them involved in, do we pick up a Randy Moss or not? Like, no, you know, that I wish they would get a general manager in or ask about big picture questions and say, look, maybe you should go all in once in a while. What's the philosophy here? How can we improve this team? Like, that big picture stuff, I think that's all fair.
Well, that is supposed to be their job, is the big picture stuff. But I think you're probably right when you suggest that this is such a sweet gig. They don't want to do anything that's going to screw that up. They don't want to be labeled as, you know, kind of a malcontent bomb thrower. Let's get this guy off the executive committee when, you know, that is, you know, a perk of all perks. I mean, wouldn't you want to be on the executive committee of the Packers board? Yeah.
I wouldn't say anything either.
Yeah.
I would keep my mouth shut.
Yeah.
And vote for everything that they said and just give me another bra in the suite.
You know, so I understand the dynamic of that and why they probably don't. And, you know, they're not football people. The people on the executive committee, you've probably seen the bios. They, you know, tend to be, you know, regional executives, you know, that kind of person. Occasionally you'll have a professional on there, a lawyer or something like that. They hit judges and things of that nature. It's kind of a prestige sort of thing. And I don't know that they bring, though, necessarily a national viewpoint, you know, to the enterprise. So are they really well positioned even to talk about, you know, a strategy? Not that people in northeastern Wisconsin or Wisconsin generally don't, you know, have good ideas about how organizations should run and that they haven't gone to really good schools and had a good training and experience. I'd like to think that's true because I'm one of those guys, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not talking about that this is the creme de la creme of, you know, thinking about organizational dynamics and organizational structure. I mean, this is just a lot of well-respected, you know, people from the area, you know, from the state. And so are they really the best position to be talking to Murphy about what he should be doing? Maybe, but I'm kind of skeptical about that. I would rather have them, you know, be at a remove and keep their mouth shut and be just glad that they've got the sweet gig that they have than, you know, trying to assert themselves when maybe they really don't know any better themselves.
Well, they should know how to run an organization. You know, the CEO of Associated Bank, you know, that's the logo that's behind all the interviews and stuff. Ed, post-game interviews, like, you know, you've done something with your life to be able to become the CEO of that organization. So, and that must include working with people, leadership, making tough calls. I mean, they should be, I mean, do they look at what stories are going on over the summer and say, like, yikes, I'm glad I'm not Murphy. Well, guess what? You're Murphy's boss. So I don't know what's going on with them. If they ever called him in and said, hey, Mark, you know, when you call them a complicated guy, do you think that's the best thing to do? Like, did they ever do that? Is Mark Murphy, you know, just like, I can say whatever I want. You know, I really have no boss because when you have 10 bosses, you have no bosses. And especially when I can talk to the other 9 and get that guy out of here or that woman out of there. So I just think the whole thing is just a farce. And if that's the best way to run it, then that's fine, but that means you got to have a president that knows how to do the right thing because all the power is with him.
Right.
And it concerns me because he's made a lot of missteps this summer.
Well, you know, it is the equivalent. Being the president of the Packers is the equivalent of being an owner in lots of different, you know,
I guess so.
Organizations. Yeah. You know, so you really got to make sure you got the right person in place. And as to your point about Associated Bank, I happen to know one of the executive vice presidents at Associated Bank. He's a fellow alum of my university. And, you know, I mean, this is a really capable, bright, smart guy. And I don't know the CEO. I'm assuming that if my guy is that sharp, I'm guessing that his boss is probably, you know, just as good or better. So, yeah, there is a lot of, you know, talent around. But I don't know that because it's, you know, the best we have in Wisconsin. Associated Bank's the largest bank in the state of Wisconsin, for those that don't know, and it's happened to be based in Green Bay, as it turns out. I don't know if that qualifies that guy necessarily, you know, to be overseeing a football operation. Although my guy, you know, was a football player and a track athlete, so maybe he'd have a little insight into the athletic milieu a little bit more than others would. So I don't want to diminish the talent because, again, I'm a Wisconsin guy. You are too. I like to think that
I'm sure
there's a lot. There's a lot of real capable people in this state. But are they the best people to be overseeing an athletic operation of an international impact? And that's what the Green Bay Packers are. You know, they're a multi-billion-dollar organization that has a reach around the world. The fact that even people listen to our ridiculous podcast, I mean, the people around the world listen to this thing because, not because of us, I'd like to think that, but it's because of the Packers. The right. Packers are a brand that has far reach, you know, beyond the scope of Associated Bank, which is a serious operation. But is it really analogous to being able to run the Green Bay Packers? You know,
all I know is if I don't want anyone to mess around with the way I operate, I would either have no committee or I'd have the largest committee possible.
Yeah.
Right. Because that if you have a committee of three people, then that's a problem because now they're actually,
that's right.
You know, they're involved and I got to face them and it's hard to maneuver around and you know, it's only, and that's why I think, I don't know if it's Warren Buffett that said every committee should be an odd number and five is too big. something like that. It's ineffective. And I guess that would be my point. But I want to make clear, I do not want the executive committee or the board involved in personnel or coaching decisions.
Well, a guy maybe, you know, who should be on the executive committee is iChuck, because this guy works for one of the largest, most successful organizations in the world, Apple. And, you know, in his spare time, iChuck invented the iPhone. So, okay. He was in touch with us from Paris. International experience, I might add, living in Paris. And this is a guy who took time to write to us and saying that he was pleasantly surprised to hear us again when our podcast popped up on his feed, probably through the Apple podcast app. I won't ask iChuck to say what app he uses, but we'll just say it's the Apple app. He said that he agrees with us on Rodgers, and he finds himself somewhere between the two of us, totally agreeing that the organization should be more respectful to the veterans they've let go. The Clay Matthews thing was rough. I didn't know that's how he found out.
So I should clarify that. Okay. So I may have – I kind of look back to see it as well – I think I characterized this. He was like walking the building. He found out on Twitter or something. I guess that's not totally true. I think he was caught off guard, and I don't think they made much of an effort to sign him. And I think he would have made a hometown discount. It might not have been as much as that's how I thought I had heard it, but it was it ended poorly regardless. But I just wanted to clarify that.
Okay. iChuck goes on to say, the one thing I had been thinking through, even if they are listening to Aaron Rodgers, do you think that guy is going to take it well when they ignore him and do something else? Whoops, I think this is a typo here. Anyway, he's lying if he wants to just be heard. That's true. Well, because that autocorrect is tough. Yeah. Also, it's not like the problem has been on offense. The organization's personnel failures have been making a championship defense. Does AR-12 have personnel input on the defense or just on the offense? So what do you think? I have to agree. Other people have mentioned, we maybe even have talked about it. You give Aaron a voice, you give him input, and then you say, thanks, we're not doing that. Is that going to make things worse?
Well, it depends on how you say it. I think it has everything to do with how you deliver the message. If you say, Aaron says, raise his hand, can I say something? And you say, no, shut up and play quarterback. That's bad.
Yeah.
If you say, yes, what is it, Aaron? Blah, 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 blah. Aaron, no, thank you. Move next. You know, that's bad. I think if you say, yeah, Aaron, that's interesting. Well, here's how we're thinking. And we're probably going to go this direction, but you know, let's keep talking. Like, I think there's a way that you can do this with this guy, that you don't have to take everything. I think he literally said just that in a post conference, which I do want to come back to this not post a conference between during the week. Did you see his quote about the revenge quote?
No, I'll come back to that.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think he was saying something about, you know, he wanted to be listened to, but he doesn't have to. He doesn't have to have everything that they say. And so, and every once in a while, I'm sure there probably are things like, well, you know, I would go this way, Rodgers when it goes that way. Tough call. Let's go with our quarterback. I think you do that once in a while. Like, there are ways of massaging this situation without having to be either extreme. We either tell him to shut up or we do everything he says. I mean, there's this middle ground where he feels like he's part of the room and kind of make him, you know, and smooth things over. I think that's possible, and I think that's something we all do with common sense going forward. But I felt like the Packers had to make a very strong statement that, you know, we do not, we do it our way, and that's the right way, and don't listen to him at all.
Well, I think the point, I could be wrong here, but I think Chuck's point is that even if you do that, you know, even if you bend over backwards to make the guy feel included and listen to, and you give him input, is he the kind of guy, and it's hard to know because we don't know Aaron Rodgers, but is he the kind of guy that's going to be satisfied with, oh, okay, well, they asked me what I thought and I told them, and I'm okay that they do something else? Is he that kind of guy, or is it just going to be another part of the indictment against the Packers in the offseason, where they sat me down, they asked me what I thought, I told them, and they still cut MVS or whatever, you know? Mm-hmm. Is that going to be something that will just be another resentment that will make this worse?
Well, all three situations are bad, right? If you ignore him, he's mad. If you try engage with him and you don't listen, he gets upset. That's bad. If you listen to everything he does, that's bad. I mean, there's no perfect situation.
Yeah,
I just think the middle one, if everyone is reasonable, and yeah, if he ends up saying like, look, I told you not to cut MVS and you did anyway, I'm upset. Well, you know, we tried, we talked many times. Now, maybe it's a waste of time and they just don't want to do that. But I feel like that's the best chance of working, is to make him feel part of it, give your rationale. You know, maybe we'd have to do it exactly this way. We can do it a little bit differently. You know, it's, but I'm thinking more of like at the end of the season, he comes and says, listen, I've got two receivers I don't trust. I could use another veteran guy in here. Eichrich makes a good point. Defense, which is why they've lost many, NFC championships. Although I wouldn't argue the one against Tampa. I feel like there was the offense could have stepped up at the second half of the Tampa game.
Yeah. Well, they got three interceptions in the second half.
Yeah. So, you know, if they had had another threat, maybe, because they went 3-0 twice, which was just a killer. Anyway, defensively, I don't know, but he probably has a somewhat of a pulse of what's going on in the locker room. I think offense would, he'd have a much more insight into, but I don't know if he would have a complete lack of insight into the defense. But all that aside, I just think the idea of having him, and it doesn't have to be, look, we're gonna have a meeting every Thursday at 2:00. We're gonna sit down and we're gonna kind of talk about things, and you know, and then hopefully by the end of it, you know, you'll be happy. But it's probably just what a handful of things that happen through the year that they might, especially you know, as you get to cutdowns. And you're talking about, you know, which receiver do you want to keep as your sixth or seventh receiver, or do you want to keep six or seven? Like, that would be a good idea, maybe to sit down with Rodgers and get his input on that.
Well, I was thinking, like, right now, and in fact, this is one of the things I want to transition to before we come back later on to a couple of iTruck's points. But what I was thinking is that, okay, we're getting now this week, they have to cut down to 80 by Tuesday.
Yeah.
And then the week after, they got to cut down to 53. Now, that's a place where I could see them going to Rodgers and saying, oh, all right, you know, we're making these cuts. I don't want to ask you who you think should be the inside linebacker, but I would like to ask you, you know, what do you want to do with Jace Sternberger? You know, I mean,
yeah.
what do you think of him compared to the rest? You know, we think we can only keep three tight ends or four. And, you know, these are the three we really like. You know, is it worth keeping this fourth? Is how important is, again, I'll say Jay Sternberg, because I think he's on the bubble. You know, how important is he to you to have him out there? Are you bothered by the fact that he doesn't study well, apparently, you know, off the field? Are you bothered by that, or does what he brings to the offense make up for that? Are you comfortable with that? Those are the ways I think that they could sound him out. Or they, or we were talking earlier in the podcast, Dave, about, you know, we're going to keep six wide receivers, and here are our choices. You know, we've got the veteran, you know, and we've got, you know, the young players with upside. Between the three of them, which do you feel most comfortable throwing to? You know, that would be worthwhile.
Absolutely. Right.
And and meaningful. But I don't think you sit down with the, you know, the roster. Okay, here are 53 spots, Aaron.
Right.
You know? Yeah.
Okay. You give me your list. I'll share our list. Let's see how they compare.
Yeah. And I don't think that's the way to do it. But you know, would that be enough for Rodgers? You know, what if he said, oh yeah, you know, I definitely want, you know, Funchess because I have, you know, latent hard feelings about the Chinese. So I want to have this guy on my team and forget the young players. Now, I mean, but you know, Goody likes his young players, and so, well, gee, okay, thanks, Aaron, but you know, I really think Malik Taylor is the guy that we want to have because he's 25 and he's really fast, and Funchess isn't so fast, and he's a little older, and he made that unfortunate comment, and he also sat out all of 2020. You know,
right?
So would Aaron say, you know what, you know what, Goody, you got a point. I'm with you, big fella. Yeah, I'm not sure he'd be that sort of guy.
I don't know, but I think of all, like I said, all your situations are tough. I think that one is the one I would go with. Here's another situation. Let's say Goody really likes Taylor and Funchess and says, you know, I'm watching Cobb, and I know we traded for him.
Oh,
but
boy.
I would rather, I think we need to back up on this decision. You don't do that in a vacuum, right? Yeah, that one you'd sit down and say, hey, Aaron.
That's right.
Sit down for a second and let's talk. You do not do that and let them find that out in the paper. So I think that's impossible that that's going to happen at this point. But that's the kind of thing I think the Packers of old would just do. They would just, you know, they got these two young guys, high upside. Cobb is slowing down, and I don't care what Rodgers thinks, we're cutting Cobb. And I so those are the things I think you got to have in the room now that he's come back and you can try to make amends. Yeah, if you're thinking like maybe we should get another punter in here, yeah, I don't. Rodgers definitely doesn't care about that. So I think the whole defense thing is off point in a way. Is that that's not what he wants input on? It's these things that we talk about.
It would be hilarious if Rodgers came in and said, you know, I've got these four punters that I've been tracking, you know,
yeah, right. Well,
and I think you should look at some of their advanced metrics. You know? I mean, that would be fabulous.
I wouldn't put it past him. He probably does.
And I've been looking at some long snappers too, you know, and yeah. So Goody, go out and get these guys.
He'd probably be right.
All right. So, do you, before we move on here to some of the other stuff that I check at, do you have any hot takes roster-wise as we are heading into the first cutdown, which will be a relatively lighter cutdown than the one that's coming up? So do you have anything, you know, roster-wise that are going to amaze and amuse our listeners?
No, you're talking about the cut that's going down from what to what? It's
I think from 90 to 80.
Okay, I have none. I mean, I guess if there are some that you want to give them a chance to get on another team, like, you know, you have a couple of guys. Yeah, so that's probably, you know, who would not surprise me. You know, Sternberger has obviously been, you know, talked about a lot. We didn't talk about Josh Jackson got traded, so he was kind of on the hot seat, but now he's no longer there. St. Brown, I think, is another, you know, he's hurt again.
Yep.
But in terms of kind of like your guy that's been with you for a while, Oren Burks, you know, I don't have any hot takes. Dexter Williams could be a guy that maybe you want to let, maybe one of your receivers, the Begelton.
Reggie Begelton, sure.
Those are all. I guess my biggest take would be Jordan Love. They're going to cut Jordan Love.
Yeah.
That's my hot take right there. They're so impressed with Benkert.
You've kind of mentioned all the guys that I was thinking about. It would not surprise me in this first round of cuts if they, you know, let go of kind of a name brand player. And I'm not, I don't think it'll be Lucas Patrick, although I guess his star has been descending. But somebody like that, and I could see, you know, St. Brown being that guy because they like him and he's good and they want to give him a chance to catch on with somebody else. Because in those last cuts, a lot of times, you know, teams are already set and it's hard for players to catch on. Right. So I would probably, my two are either Sternberger, based on the tepid comments that he received from his position coach this past week, or it would be St. Brown as the guys that we kind of know that have been around for a while, but just, you know, are not really fitting in based on the roster composition, and they think they owe it to them to give them a chance to catch on someplace else. So it will be interesting to see, especially, I would not be surprised, and not this cut, but if they don't find themselves a different punter, that is something that I think is becoming increasingly possible, that, you know, J.K. Scott, for whatever reason, is too inconsistent, and they think that they can get somebody off the scrap heap, but they're probably going to wait and see what the other cuts look like. I mean, we were kidding about Rodgers, but I know that there are guys in the Packers front office who are tracking the number three punter that's in camp with the Panthers, you know?
Yeah,
and if that guy becomes available, they might say, bye-bye, J.K. Scott, you know, we're not just kidding, and you're out of here, buddy, you know, and we're going to take this no-name guy that, you know, was cut by somebody else.
I think they would bring someone into challenge for the rest of the camp that, rather than just cut J.K. Scott, though. That I would think, but you never know. I guess my guy Dolagala, before I can even get my jersey, he may be on that list to tend to. But yeah. I don't know if that's going to stop me from getting the jersey.
Well, it sounds to me like this deal with Jordan Love is a short-term thing. And, you know, it's – I think they're playing the high side of caution, as a former Packer coach like to say, and I think that he'll be back, so they won't need that fourth quarterback, and I think he'll be a casualty. But hey, he got to throw a pass in a kind of a game for the Green Bay Packers, something I've never done and something you've never done. So he's ahead of us.
Yeah. They wouldn't even let us step on the grass, much
I
less.
Know.
Put on a uniform in Lambeau with a crowd and throw it down the field. By the way, did you see that crowd was pretty thin?
Yeah, I noticed that. But, you know, the weather here yesterday was – and you know this from having lived here for so long. You know, you're getting to the end of summer now. The number of 80-degree days are waning. And I think people said, do we really want to watch the third team – you know, in a meaningless game when the weather is great, we could be out on the boat or sitting in the backyard or doing almost anything else.
Yeah, sitting in the backyard watching the game.
Well, you know, but still, at least then you're at home and you can have the drinks you want that don't cost, like, what, $12 each for a beer.
Oh, that's true.
You know,
yeah, that's true.
And the thing is, I totally get that. When people were commenting about the size of the crowd, I was like, you got to realize we just don't get a lot of summer around here. And on the weekend, too, you know, when people aren't working, do you really want to go with a lot of sweaty people that may be, you know, carrying an infectious disease? You know, do you really want to do that? Or would
That's
you?
True too.
Yeah. You know, I mean, there's a lot of reasons why I think, and I don't know how it is in under the arch, but, you know, we're spiking here in a lot of counties. The one I live in is one of them that's in the red zone. And, you know, I mean, people are probably more cautious about things when it comes to COVID. So there's a lot of reasons, I think, why that was thin. But I feel very confident to say that when the real games start, the place is going to be packed.
COVID, COVID who? That's right. We'll all be in that stand.
Yeah, it is one of those things, too. And now we're getting off topic, I suppose. But I think that people adapt. I mean, last year, no one knew what was going on. We have a lot better understanding now. A lot of people are vaccinated. And I think people just kind of tend to say, okay, we're just going to live with this, and it's dangerous, and we don't like it, and we're going to be cautious, but we got to go on living the way we know how to live. And I think that is there's that certain attitude I think is coming into play with a lot of folks right now is, yeah, I should be careful, I should be cautious, I should be smart, but I got to live my life. And I think that a lot of people are coming over to that viewpoint. Right or wrong, I think that's just how people are. At some point, you get used to it, you adapt to what is in front of you, and you love your Green Bay Packers. And so, yeah, I may have to be, you know, cheek by jowl. I mean, when you're sitting in that stadium, people have not been there. You got to understand, most of the place is aluminum bleachers. And the seats are numbered, but you know, they are not, there's not much room. I mean, it's not like you have your own chair. Now, there are places, you know, where they do have club seating and that sort of thing. But generally speaking, you're on an aluminum bench and yeah. You are right next to people. I think I told this story that when I was at one of the games, I think it was the Saints game in 2011. And it was the first game of the year, but it got chilly, you know, when the sun went down. It was a night game, and I was pulling on my, you know, Packers sweatshirt, and all of a sudden I'm getting help from the woman next to me. She's pulling it down over the back. It's like, that's how close you are to people. I mean, both literally and kind of figuratively, because when you're sitting next to somebody and sweating on them for 3 hours, you get kind of close. So people miss that experience, and, you know, potentially deadly virus or not, it's been around for a while. You get used to it. And I think we're going to see a full Lambeau Field, regardless of the environmental dangers that may be out there or not. And that is unless, of course, the county, you know, Brown County says, no, we're not going to allow this.
Yeah.
Other than that, I think it's going to be like it was in 2019.
They're not showing proof of vaccination for NFL games yet, have they?
I have not heard of anybody doing that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
That's becoming kind of common on like concerts and stuff like that.
Yeah, Summerfest.
Yeah. But I haven't heard of any sports teams in the United States doing that. Now, maybe they're doing it overseas, and maybe some of our overseas listeners, you know, could hit us on Twitter or someplace, or at Packers Therapy on Twitter. And if that's the case in the place where you live, you know, let us know. But I haven't heard of any American sports teams that are requiring either proof of testing or proof of vaccination.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, we don't open in Green Bay, right? We open New Orleans. And then is the second game against Detroit at home? Is that?
Hey, Dave, I am.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I put you on the spot.
I am fixated on this Buffalo game that's coming up next week. It's the most important game of the preseason. It may be the most important game of the 2021 season. Let's not take our eye off the ball here, Dave. All right.
That's a Super Bowl preview, as they'll say.
Well, you know, that's the weird thing. It actually could be, but we'll never know because
no players.
There's one more thing. Chuck also gave your endorsement to Rick and Morty. He's a big fan. He recommends the episode Pickle Rick. People are looking at episodes for Rick and Morty, and I didn't do it this week because I was spent most of the week at a secluded cottage in northern Wisconsin. And when I say that, Dave, this is a place that is between Ashland and Hurley. Yeah, and people are running now to their, you know, to their gazetter and looking, where the hell is Ashland, Wisconsin, and Hurley, Wisconsin? Well, it's right up toward, Ashland's right on Lake Superior, and Hurley is right on the border with the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. And we're about halfway between there. We stayed in a cottage that, in order to get to it, you had to drive a mile and a half on a gravel road to be able to get where this cottage was. So I did not do a lot of, casual watching of any kind of videos because I was in a remote location, as they say.
Yeah, fun.
So it's even more remote than Stevens Point, which is the big city around where I live. And I mentioned that because iChuck mentions to me, to us in his email, that his sister has just moved to Stevens Point. She is going to be the head band director at the Pacelli Catholic High School and the Pacelli Catholic Middle School. And so he wants the highlights of what he should be recommending to his sister, who is moving to Stephen's point, from my, I believe from the Fox Valley, I think she was in Oshkosh, and she's moving here to be the band director at Pacelli High School and Middle School. It's not too late, probably, to look for other jobs, so that's always a possibility for iChuck's sister. But I will say this. Pacelli Middle School used to be St. Peter's school, located less than a mile from the house I grew up in Stevens Point, Wisconsin. So I know quite a bit about this that part of town. The Catholic high school, Pacelli High School, used to be an all-girls school where my aunt went to school before she went to the convent. Yes, my aunt was a nun, and she had attended what is now Pacelli High School. So I know a little bit about this area. And props to her for being a band director in high school, middle school. That's a noble calling, and it's wonderful. Stevens Point, which Pulver is just outside of Stevens Point, is a funky little town, actually. And that part of town where your sister's going to be working, iChuck, she's going to be a block away from the co-op. There is a food cooperative that has been around for, I don't know, 40 or 50 years. And, you know, every what used to be known as hippies, every one of these alternative folks are, you know, are hanging out there and are members there. My youngest son is the graphic designer for the co-op, so he will be working just a block away from where your sister is. And people don't really, they think, oh my God, Central Wisconsin, potatoes, it's a backwater, no place. It's actually kind of an interesting town with an active arts community. There's, you know, for the area, it's, you know, got a diversity about it. It's not St. Louis or anything like that. Yeah. But I mean, for the area that it is, and the place where you and Klaus
is diverse by meaning the people have been to Chicago.
it's diverse in saying that there's a variety of opinions, and people from different locations have come to live in Stevens Point. A lot of it's because of the university, yep. and Century Insurance, which is a big concern in this town, employs a lot of people. It's a surprisingly for the area. Surprisingly forward-looking, not really progressive, but kind of area amidst a lot of rural attitudes. So I think your sister, iChuck, is going to find a lot to like. In fact, just a few blocks from where she's going to be working at the former St. Peter's School, there's these very cool townhouses that they've built in this older part of town. There's about I don't know, 8 or 10 new places that have come up in the last 5 years where they've replaced old housing. And so it is kind of an interesting, funky, kind of cool place to live. And people who relocate here oftentimes wind up staying because there is a certain kind of laid-back vibe in the area with the university, with Century. There's a software company. There's another, it's a dental insurance company. Delta Dental is located here. So there's a lot to recommend the area. And I think that she'll find her place if she likes that sort of thing. If she likes urban environments, and Oshkosh I don't think would qualify as an urban environment, but if she likes, you know, a more hustle bustle, you're not going to get that here. But if she likes the outdoors, if she likes the, you know, tree hugging, canoeing, you know, eating granola kind of place, you're going to find a lot of that in Stevens Point.
I did not think it was possible to talk about a topic more boring than football preseason games. And you found it.
Yeah.
Well, you found describing Stevens Point to the detail you just went into. I almost turned you off. But
so,
you know,
so
I
how do you think though, Dave, that we're gonna get the new iPhone 13 for free?
I don't know.
You think we're gonna get that by ignoring iChat?
Well,
no.
We earned every second of that.
Exactly.
You should
right.
Send it to everyone who is listening at this point. But
no one's listening at this point. It's a preseason podcast.
Yeah.
No one's listening. So I'm talking to an audience of one, and he's in Paris.
He's
our man in Paris.
All right. Then for him, well, we do it. But I'm looking forward to that new phone.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, you have anything else you want to leave us with? I've kind of filibustered here toward the end and got people to sign off.
Yeah, well, there goes my chance to talk about my corner of town and country, Missouri. But maybe I'll do that.
It is a lovely suburb. It is a lovely, and I've been there. The deer are grazing, in the backyards of some of the wealthy and affluent members of the town and country society. It's a lovely place.
It is. I'm going to save it. That'll be my tease for next episode.
No, what I want to do instead is talk about the place you have in Racine. That's what you should be talking about.
Oh, yeah. That'd be much better. Now, I'm going to have to come up there, and we'll have to watch a game. I might have to go up there because the Buffalo preseason game, I do not believe, is going to be televised in St. Louis this time. Oh, so what do I do with the third preseason game? I mean, it's usually the used to be the game that was starters played the most.
Yeah, not anymore.
I'm guessing that the Packers might be signing up people this week. You know, just people, fans who've never wanted to play for the Packers.
It's going to be the fantasy experience for five lucky fans will get to suit up and play against the Buffalo Bills.
Oh, this is the first. We have a father-son lining up on the left side at wide receiver. The winners of our father-son contest.
You know, I'd actually probably tune in for that.
I would. Oh, and it looks like he's paralyzed, James.
Okay. Well, it's okay. He lived a long time anyway. Yeah. It's perfectly fine.
Well, I got no meaningless. It's all meaningless. And we've proved it.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap it up. We'll know a lot more about the shape and composition of the Packers roster. We won't know any more about Stevens Point, Wisconsin, but we'll know more about the Packers roster after they do play that last game. We will go over the roster during the next podcast. We will look ahead, as we always do. We go game by game, and we kind of guess at – you know, what this team might be able to do. But I'm kind of bullish, Dave, about the prospects for this team going forward, not based on the preseason, but just sort of, you know, based on who they have on the roster. And it'll be interesting to see, what the cuts look like. I think a lot of these draft picks are going to wind up, you know, making the team. I like kind of what I've seen of him what I've read about him, but we'll look at that next week, the composition of the roster, and we'll go game by game. I'm guessing there'll be, unless there's a major injury, and God forbid there's not, there won't be a lot probably to talk about when it comes to the game. And my bet, if I was setting some betting lines there, I'm guessing the Packers will look at 0-3 next week. But again, as you mentioned, it's meaningless. It means nothing whatsoever. But
hey, we'll leave you this one last thing, just because I referenced it. If you get a chance to look for this, Rogers was asked the question: is it true that revenge is the thing that fuels you and drives you? And Rogers looks at the person and goes, it's not about revenge. It's about a reckoning." And then. Which is a line from Tombstone. I think Val Kilmer says it. It's something about it's not a revenge, it's a reckoning. And but someone then overlaid the beginning music of Tombstone over it. It's a great tweet if you can find it. not about revenge, it's about a reckoning. I just thought that was a great line, and that'll be my mic drop for this episode. That will probably go down in history as one of our best.
I have forgotten that he was a devotee of that show. He also liked Deadwood too, as I recall.
Deadwood, Adam Sandler, there's a few that he lays out there. Dodgeball, I think, is a big one for him. Yeah, he kind of we know way too much about him, which is sad.
Well, someday we'll know this much about Jordan Love, perhaps. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe.
All right, that's going to wrap Packers Therapy for this week. We'll be back next week because we're sick and we're addicted to this kind of thing. And we're glad that you listen, especially if you listen this far into the podcast. There's absolutely no reason for you to
pat yourself on the back.
Yeah, exactly right. Packers yourself on the back as far as that goes. anyway, Packers play against the Bills. They will be going out to Buffalo, as I recall, and we'll be watching it. I suppose you will be too. And I think we'll do a better job next week, I promise. So until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.